All right. Good morning to you. And Patrick Doyle's in the house. We swept out all the pills and brought in the padded room.
This room is padded, too.
This hour is more than one guy can handle. I need counseling beyond your ability after a show with that. I have to learn about inflammation and disease and omega-3s and 6s. And now I got to hear about self-reliance. I'm done. I am done.
Now you're finally in a spiritual place because you're done.
I'm done. There is nothing left. I'm running on E. I'm like most cars up and down the freeway. They may be doing 65, 70, 75, and 80.
Uh-huh.
They're on E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fumes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I noticed your studio's changed a little bit here, Perry.
Well, we're putting 50 pounds in a 5-pound bag.
Well, I'm telling you, it looks pretty good for a bag that's overflowing.
It's just, well, we had to move everything. I don't know. God willing, someday we'll have our own building. That whole dream fell apart, so I don't understand
You guys that are listening, got to understand. I come in this morning to the studio, and I go to where Perry's office used to be.
Yeah.
And there's no office there.
Yeah.
And then I look to the left where the kitchen and the refrigerator and the break room used to be, and there's Perry's office.
Yeah, that's me. I'm in the kitchen.
That was pretty quick.
I'm in the kitchen. I'm in the corner of the old kitchen.
And the
and the conference room is back in my office.
Right.
So,
And so now the kitchen is, like, all squished into the...
Yeah, in the common area.
It's amazing how you guys have squeezed all this stuff in.
It's tight. I'm amazed by it. I don't know. We're trying to get excuse me ready for the television thing.
Yeah.
And all the work behind the scenes and
it's amazing.
You ever have who's the guy that wrote the book Shattered Dreams?
Larry Crabb.
We need to get
He's
him
my
on
hero. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's get him on the air.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll get Sue on him. She's probably get him faster than
No, don't do that. I have Paula do it. Sue will shoot me if I give her any more to do. Everybody's maxed out here.
I did peruse by her desk, and I saw it was kind of a lot of stuff on it.
You know, well, you notice how we extended the wall?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. it's called protection.
Don't come out, Perry.
If I could get to my office without going past her desk, believe me, there's times I go out this door, and I walk clear around the building and come in the back door.
It's not your fault you have to keep doing all this stuff.
Well, is it? They just tell me, quit dreaming. I said, I'm not dreaming. I'm just trying to follow God.
Well, yeah, the TV thing is very exciting, though. I saw it. Steve showed me just a few snippets. Wow.
Yeah. Well, see, I lost my office to all the TV computer
Exactly.
rooms.
You
and
did.
My office got divided into two. First of all, it got divided into two studios for the radio side.
Right.
Then it got divided into two again.
Right.
To handle the television, what they call play out.
Right.
And then the television production.
Right.
Which is all computer. There's no big studios. We haven't got room for a studio, my stars. We barely got room. When we get down to a half a bathroom, we got problems. So anyway, so that's what's that. We're all squeezing in, and I got shoved into a corner.
Uh-huh.
I did get some new carpet, though.
That's nice.
Yeah, but I got shoved in the corner, and then the conference room and the meeting room got put back into my office. So I'm in a common,
right,
along with everybody else.
There's no place to... to have a conference in this place anymore.
No, there's no secrets here now. You come here, it's totally transparent.
There were never secrets anymore.
There is no secrets here. So anyway, God willing, someday we'll get a building, but that whole dream fell apart. So you ever have that happen to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you mentioned it, shattered dreams. My life's full of them. And it's funny, self-reliance was what I wanted to talk about today. And
why? Can't you change the subject? Can't we talk about misery? Self-reliance. Give me a break.
Self-reliance is misery. That's the whole point.
Self-reliance.
Because it's so subtle. Here's the thing.
It's got to be a sin.
I think that God, I think, first of all, let me just make my statement of thesis here.
Yeah.
I believe self-reliance is the opposite of godliness.
Whoa.
Okay. To rely on yourself is not godly.
Yeah.
God over and over and over in the scripture says, rely on me.
Mm-hmm.
So the way God repeatedly puts it is that he's the father, he's daddy, and we're the kids.
Right.
Okay? I don't go to my kids when they're young and say, hey, where are we going to get the money for rent? And hey, what about who's going to fix the car? And hey, who's going to help me find a new job? I don't go to them with those requests or those problems. Why? Because they're kids. Mm-hmm. What's my kid's job? My kid's job is be taken care of. That's what a kid does. Mm. He gets taken care of. And God is saying, as father, look, kids, I'm going to take care of you. The problem is we can't always see what he's doing, and we get really freaked out. And we start trying to help, you know. The whole Ishmael thing's a good example of that.
Right now.
I better step out of the studio. I'm going to turn my own mic off. Go ahead. There's no way I could come in. Go ahead. You're digging a good hole. Go for it. Yeah. You got 20 minutes to get out of it.
So I think with God being in charge, actually, the issue of trust becomes very big because, you know, look, in this world, people do mistreat us. And dreams do get shattered, right? But I believe that in God's economy, there's never anything that happens to us that he doesn't redeem. Now, I didn't say that it wasn't difficult and it wasn't hard and that it's not painful. But God never allows anything in his children's lives to go unredeemed. Okay, the timing of that redemption, we wish we had control of, because we want it all redeemed right now. Problem is, we can't control that. I mean, you know, the TV station and all the transition that the Dove's going through is a good example. I mean, the ball starts rolling, and you're just trying not to get run over by it.
Boy, that is true.
But God is doing something that's very profound, and he's not asking for permission.
I noticed that. In fact, it comes without warning. No labels, no manuals, no nothing. It just happens.
Exactly. And to me, it's a beautiful thing because what God is saying is, son, I'm going to develop in you me. I'm not looking to necessarily build a TV station. I'm looking to develop me, not only in the people that will see the Dove TV, not only in you, Perry, and in the people that work here. I'm doing something so far beyond anybody's imagination. You won't know till you get to see me face to face.
I figured it out. I've been rebuilt 30 times.
Well, and how many you got to go?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, overhauls and redos.
I'm going for the 70 at least.
Oh, you're waxing all King James
on me.
I'm
hoping at least I get it that far. This last project, he's got me down for the count here.
Right. So When things are difficult, what I often encourage people to do is instead of trying to do better, I encourage people to ask more. Go to God and say, God, you know what? If you don't show up today, I'm probably not going to make it. If I based it on how I felt right now or what I think right now, I don't think it's going to I don't think I got it to get through the end of the day. And
amen.
So God, I need you. And see, here's the deal. When we get that honest and we get that vulnerable, when he does show up and help, what does that do? It inspires me in my trust, in my faith. But if I never get to the place of that kind of confession that, God, I'm desperately in need of you, then I naturally will try to take care of it myself. A lot of times it's not even intentional. I'm not like actually thinking, oh, I don't need God, I'm going to do it myself. It's just a natural tendency that we have. And so I believe God in his mercy brings us into situations many times that are very difficult and don't seem to have any roads out to get us to the place to look at him and say, okay, I know the score now. I can't handle it. I need your help. And in that place of brokenness, I believe you are the most spiritual that you can be this side of heaven. But none of us like it. I love what brokenness does for me, but I hate going through it. But I also would tell you that many times in my life, having been face down and what I thought was optionless, God has never let me down. He hasn't done it in my timing or in the way that I saw fit, but he always comes through. And this, to me, is the foundation of Christian freedom. Because I love how Romans is translated in the Message in Romans, I believe it's 8. He says, you know, do not redouble your efforts because the law can never bring you freedom. Trying harder won't get you there. You have to surrender. It's one of the paradoxes of the kingdom of God. Now, look, if I see God as good and loving and kind and generous and beautiful and glorious, surrender's not so hard. But if I see God as upset, not too pleased with me, angry, distant, you know, bothered, I'm probably not going to submit. I'm probably going to naturally avoid that. So I would say if you have trouble submitting to God, it might be the result of maybe misunderstanding him. And hey, there's a lot of reasons why we could misunderstand him. I misunderstood him for years because of my dad. Okay? My dad didn't try to make me misunderstand him. It just, that's how the experience has worked out. So that's why I encourage people to spend time quietly extracted from the mess and the clamor and the intensity and the overwhelm. Get away. Jesus did it regularly. Why? He was God, and yet he had to get away and get quiet because the intensity of the need, the crowd everywhere he went needed him, wanted him, touch him, tell us, blah. And, you know, we all feel that way, like, man, everything, I got to, everybody needs me, and I don't have enough to give them. And so you have to get away and be quiet and let God give you what you need. You don't naturally or innately have it. And this is where we really burn out, is we just keep pushing, and God's like, son, come here, sit in my lap, let me give to you what you need. Oh, well, you mean I can't do it myself? No, you can't. And that's where I think a lot of times our spirituality breaks down. We, at that point, I believe, begin to veer into religion, and we start doing what we think we're supposed to do. And I've often said, perspiration is often a lack of inspiration.
Hmm.
If you're inspired by God, it doesn't mean the work won't be hard. I mean, obviously God has inspired the Dove, TV, and all the changes. And it's hard work. But ultimately the outcome's not on Perry's shoulders. It's on God's. He might, you know, it's going to run a lot through you, but... and there's natural stresses, but our job is to keep taking it to him. I mean, I got stresses. Everybody's got stresses. No. There's nobody listening that doesn't have stress. I mean, if you do, please call me. I want to hear about it. No. And but we got to, it's a practice. We got to keep giving it back because life's full of stress. We live in an evil, fallen world. Things don't go right. Things break down. You know, in the perfect Garden of Eden, things didn't go wrong. Things didn't wear out. Things didn't break. Things didn't need repair. They were perfect. But now we got all that decay.
How do you know if you're self-reliant when you think you're not?
You're stressed out a lot. You're overwhelmed. You're tired. You're low on hope. And your knee-jerk reaction to things is, I'll take care of it. And the truth is, if we really look at it from a biblical point of view, we never take care of it. Now, God uses us, but it's really his power. It's his strength. We're just vessels. Remember, he's daddy and we're children. I don't expect my kids to take care of me. I don't expect my kids to organize my life. They can't. They're incapable. They're designed to be dependent. And when they become adults, then they don't have to be taken care of.
Send them out. Get them a job. Tell them to get with it.
By the way,
yeah.
If anyone named Caleb Doyle is listening,
yeah.
Happy 12th birthday, son.
Really?
Yeah. Caleb turns 12 today.
12?
Yes.
Caleb is 12.
Yeah. It's an awesome thing. He's
Does he
great
have a girlfriend?
Kid. No.
Good.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
He can't date till he's 43.
Yeah. It's the first week of school. You know, I gave him a little time.
He's eating like his dad. He'd be married by Friday.
No, I didn't get married till I was almost 30, but that was a good thing. See, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
If I'd have gotten married earlier, there'd have been a pain and trail of tears.
Wow.
Because I was totally self-reliant. And I was using all of my God-given skills to burn
people
up. You
know, self-reliance, it's an interesting thing. I have given up on people because of this issue.
Right.
Because they're not ready to listen. And the last thing they want to be told is that what they're doing is not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I've been in counseling sessions where I realized real quickly, it's better that you go out and hit the wall. I can put 50 pieces back together than I can just a crack piece.
Mm. Well, yeah, and God uses pain.
I say, you know, God, and you work using the Lord. I don't mean that on my self-realized. But right. The point is that this is a hard, hard thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's selfish.
Mm-hmm. Pride is a big part of it.
Pride.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times that pride is motivated by fear.
Fear of failure?
Fear of failure, fear of what other people think, the whole idea of the fear of man as opposed to the fear of God.
Why do Christians believe in God but don't trust him?
Because they don't know him.
Good answer.
Yeah, when you know him.
You can come back next week.
Pass the test. when you know him, you can't help but trust him. When somebody's really good to you and loving and kind and generous and gracious and merciful and always good, trusting them's not hard.
Why do we equate blessing with performance?
Religion. And I use
another good answer.
Yeah, religion is, you know, and Paul said religion's death. Paul himself was one of the highestly decorated religious people of his day until he had a Road to Damascus experience. What did God do? He blinded him. He humbled that man completely. And Paul was so religious and so zealous, and I believe genuinely and actually zealous. He was protecting God when he was killing Christians. And after he saw God and heard from God on the road to Damascus, he was totally different because he saw God. When you see God for who he is, you absolutely change. And this is why I believe that reading the scriptures, again, not trying to figure them out, not trying to find something to share, not trying to find a moral lesson, not trying to find where you're wrong. Reading the scriptures in large chunks, not two or three verses, in a translation you can understand, and in a quiet place without a five-minute time limit. And just let yourself read the scriptures and ask God, I want to see you, God. Help me to see you in the scriptures. I'm telling you, if you see God, you will be changed. That is the key. But you can't see God generally in a five-minute devotion.
I have have had men, I've dealt with men in the past who suffer, and I think men perhaps maybe suffer with this a little bit more than women. Mm. And I don't mean to make this a gender issue, but it seems like men suffer with self-reliance more than women do.
We put it on them. I mean, society puts responsibility on men. God puts responsibility on men. I mean, so there is responsibility that we have, absolutely, but we go the wrong way with it.
But you reach a critical mass point of self-reliance that either you turn to God or you turn even further to yourself.
Exactly.
And that's when the word doesn't speak to you, it doesn't work, mm-hmm. It's bouncing off, mm-hmm. The prayers are bouncing off, mm-hmm. The temptations come in. Mm-hmm. I remember interviewing Jim Baker, mm-hmm. And the process that he went through.
Mm-hmm. The heart, the slow hardening.
The whole mm-hmm. Slow hardening. He said, you know, 95% of my life was in order, but the 5% that I concealed from God is what took the multi-million-dollar ministry down. Mm-hmm. And it was this self-reliance, this I have a corner on God, to the point where God and I have such a good deal going here, yeah. That this little problem is just that, a little problem.
Right.
And it's under control. I have it under control.
Yes. Yeah, the ultimate demise of the human is to think that you have it. God is omnipotent.
But I have seen guys go through a self-reliant breaking.
Yes.
Through a mistake or a sin,
mm-hmm.
Come out even more self-reliant.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like the scripture says, you know, you cast one out and seven more come in.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Because, see, if there isn't true conviction from God, which in it is the only softening agent that I know of to soften the human heart. I've never seen information soften a human heart. I've seen God use information to bring about conviction, but it's conviction that tears open the hardness and brings about softness. It's a work of God. It's not a work of people. And look, when God convicts someone, it naturally, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Repentance is a change in how I behave, not in what I say. So conviction is necessary for the softening of the heart. And you can run pretty hard and long from that conviction. I mean, I know in my own life, there have been things that I've run from for years where God just keeps coming at me with until finally he breaks me. And again, it wasn't because I wanted him to. I was trying to get out of it. And that happens to everybody. So my trust has to be in God's work, not mine. See, when I
But you don't understand. I have to have this thing done by Friday.
Well, you don't understand. You're in trouble.
No, you don't understand. God's up there, but obviously he's letting me do this because I have to get it done by Friday.
Right. Well, that's your perception. God's eternal. He doesn't have a timeline. And so who has more wisdom, you or him? You see through a glass dimly. He sees everything. So, come on. Let's be realistic here.
I'm just trying to be the advocate.
I know. Keep it up. But you know, you're right. A lot of people say that. Well, I don't have time to wait. Well, you don't have a choice. I mean, God is in charge of the universe.
I think we need to understand that God does allow businesses and ministries to fail.
Yes, he does.
Now, that's not necessarily a sign of disapproval.
No. If you're God's kid, he cannot disapprove of you.
I have seen ministries go down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it puts a perspective on what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's God doesn't need the dove.
Mm-mm. No.
He doesn't need anything we're doing to accomplish what he wants to get done.
He didn't need any of us. Right.
No. So, I mean, the question is, you know, are we staying in alignment with him that he can use it?
It's a complete and total merciful blessing that he allows me to do what I do, that he allows the dove to do what it does, to be an instrument of his voice and his will in the lives of many people. That, I don't know, what better thing could you do?
Well, I don't know. I've been in ministry situations where self-reliant people got in control of the ministry.
Yep.
And it's amazing how far it can go without God.
Yes. I just resigned from one. That very thing's happening.
Because it will, mm-hmm. it'll hit the wall.
Right.
It's just a matter of time.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And look, here was the struggle that I had with this ministry that I just resigned from the leadership team of. You know, I had voiced my opinion on many occasions to no avail. And so I prayed about it, and I felt very much like God was saying, step aside, let it go. And so I did, and man, it's picking up speed, and it will. As you know, when somebody's trying to do their will, it's going to hit the wall. And you know what? I am sad, and at the same time, I'm excited, because in that pain, God will redeem. He will,
well,
he will straighten people out.
You get it in couples a lot.
Yes.
The self-reliant.
Uh-huh.
You know, or right. the very individualistic
right.
person who
mm-hmm.
just has no, it's my way, and you don't understand this. This is the way. No, you don't understand. This is the way. No, you don't understand. This is the way.
There's
know.
Only one way.
There's
it's
only,
mine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, and you know, I've backed away from those. I think there's an impasse, and the only way you can break the impasse is let the impasse get broken.
Right. Yeah, because, see, again, what I realize is I don't have the power to change anybody.
Right.
That was a myth that I labored under for years. I don't have the power. If God chooses to use me, hallelujah.
Okay, we're going to run out of time here.
Okay.
Self-reliance. Give us the pulse test to check today whether or not mm-hmm. we're self-reliant.
Okay, first of all, whose responsibility is the accomplishment? So in other words, whatever you're facing, whose responsibility is it to take care of it? Is it yours or is it God's? The answer is God's. If you don't consult him about that stuff, if he's not involved, you're probably self-reliant. If you're stressed out, if you're angry at God, if you're tired, if you're hopeless, you're probably trusting on your own strength a little too much. You're probably working a little bit out of the flesh. And I would prescribe for you, whoever you are, to get away. Take 24 hours out. Go someplace where there's no TV, no cell phone, no email, no radio, no input, and be alone. Take a copy of your script, take a copy of the scriptures and something to write with and something to write on, and don't have any expectations. Just go and eat well and sleep well and listen and be honest. Say it out loud with your mouth and just let it fly. and listen for what God has to say. And don't worry about the outcome. He may say a whole bunch. He may say very little. He may say nothing. Doesn't matter. It's just important to take the time to get away. That in itself will help you start to sense His grace instead of you being under the gun.
All right, Patrick Doyle heads up Veritas Counseling, 622-6018. He and Ron are there to take your appointment and to meet with you confidentially on any of these issues that we talk about.
Right.
I've bumped into more people that have been using Veritas Counseling services between you and Ron, who are so grateful on how God has used you guys.
It's a privilege, and I'm honored to be able to be in that position.
It's amazing, the people you're talking to. Sooner or later, I hear them from them. It's a matter of time. I know what kind of a counselor you really are.
No. It shows up eventually, doesn't it?
No, well, it's just wonderful how God's using Veritas Counseling. So the number is 622-6018. You can call there, make an appointment to be with Ron Kirkgaard or Patrick Doyle, and these guys are of the Lord there to help you.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
Hey, Caleb, happy birthday, pal.
Hey, thanks, Caleb.